Hello children, I am Mrs. Anjalika Sen, TGT Science from ACS 5 Mumbai. Today I will start the module on excretion in human beings of the lesson Life Processes. In the subsequent modules, I will also talk about excretion in plants. So let's begin with module 1 of excretion. Look at slide number 1. In this slide, we are going to see what happens in a unicellular and a multicellular organism. From the day we have started learning about life processes, we always talk about the fact that unicellular organisms have only one cell and multicellular have more number of cells, and that's why multicellular organisms cannot depend on diffusion. This slide will show you very clearly what is actually happening. You look at that unicellular organism over there, it is just one cell in the medium that is warm, dilute ocean waters. And you can see that all parts of the cell, or rather the entire surface of the cell, is in direct contact with the environment. So all nutrients can get in and waste can get out easily by diffusion. But look at the second one, where we are seeing multicellular cells over there in the same medium, warm, dilute ocean waters. Here we see that all the cells are not in direct contact with the environment. The cells that are on the outside are in contact with the environment, so they can take up exchange by diffusion. But those cells that are internal, that are within, they are not able to reach the environment, and so they can't get the nutrients in and the waste out. So this actually very clearly shows us that for any system to take place, for example, whether it is respiration or excretion, the multicellular organism cannot depend on diffusion. So, multicellular organisms need an organ system. I found this slide very interesting and giving a lot of information. That is why I put up this slide, which will give you a very clear image of what is happening in a unicellular and a multicellular organism and why multicellular organisms need the organ system. We move on to slide number 2, and here we are going to start with our topic, that is excretion. This is the last part of the lesson Life Processes, children. And we are going to learn about excretion, how the excretion is taking place, and how plants are excreting, how animals are excreting, and all that. So when we talk about excretion, we see that whenever an organism is having metabolic activities taking place in its body, harmful metabolic wastes get collected, and so these harmful metabolic wastes have to be removed from the body. So that biological process which is involved in removing the harmful wastes from the body is called as excretion. Different organisms have different kinds of wastes and they are removed. For example, plants will remove the gaseous waste through stomata, and you already know that during respiration plants remove carbon dioxide, but during photosynthesis plants remove oxygen. Animals, they remove carbon dioxide through respiration, but undigested solid waste is removed by defecation. And now we are going to talk about, in this lesson, we are going to talk about the nitrogenous waste that gets generated and that has to be removed by this process of excretion. So, every organism, whether it is a very small protist or it is a large mammal, all organisms have to cleanse themselves of these potential toxic byproducts. And how are they getting these potential toxic byproducts in their body? Because of their own vital activities taking place. And different organisms have different strategies to remove the waste or have the process of excretion. Look at that table over there. It's a very nice table comparing and differentiating between the excretion of plants and that of animals. Now, if you look at this, you will see the excretory organs are very clearly given. In plants, there is no particular organ. In animals, they have the skin, lung, and kidney. If you look at the excretory materials, some of the materials are common excretory materials, but other than that, excretory materials are also different because of the different vital activities, different types of activities taking place. Methods of excretion are also very different. Animals will perspire, animals will remove urine, animals will defecate, animals will give out carbon dioxide by cellular respiration, and plants have the processes of photosynthesis, transpiration, cellular respiration to remove their wastes. And we see the use of these excretory materials. The plants, they absorb the oxygen that the animals, the plants, they take up the carbon dioxide that the animals are excreting and use it for their photosynthesis. And during photosynthesis, they give out oxygen, and that oxygen is taken by the animals during their respiration. So the excretory materials of one organism is also used by another organism. We move to the next slide, and in the third slide we see the type of waste that is excreted by different animals. First of all, we understand that if it is a unicellular organism, we just now saw in the first slide that they simply remove the waste and they dump out the waste from their body by diffusion. All right, they remove it by simple diffusion to the surrounding water, as the same way they take up nutrients from the surrounding medium. So they have very simple methods of excretion. But if you look at the multicellular organisms, as we have already discussed, they have excretion on a number of fronts, okay? So the individual cells, because there are so many number of cells, the individual cells will expel their waste. And that waste will be simply, you know, deposited in a certain part, in a body cavity or a blood vessel, and then there is a process of removing that waste from the body. So we see that a complex multicellular organism will use very specialized organs to perform the process of excretion. For that matter, any other metabolic activity also, but we are talking about excretion right now. And so we see different organisms have different modes of excretion, different organs where they are excreting. It could be the kidney, it could be the lung, it could be the skin, the eyes. It all depends upon the habitat and the food habit of that particular organism. Here we see that, say for example, we are talking about aquatic animals, we are talking about birds and insects, or you talk about mammals and man for that matter, what are the excretory products? In case of the animals, aquatic animals, we see that the waste that is excreted is in the form of ammonia. Whereas birds and insects will mainly excrete uric acid. But if you look at human beings and all other mammals also, they produce urea as the major excretory product. Now we proceed to the human excretory system. When we are going to talk about the human excretory system, in this module, I'm going to talk about the structure of the excretory system. We are going to discuss the different organs, what are the functions of these organs, and then we are going to talk about the structural and functional unit of the kidney, that is the nephron. In the subsequent modules, I'm going to talk how the urine is formed, and also about excretion in plants. So let us look at the human excretory system. Let us look at the organs that make up the human excretory system. And we see that it includes a pair of kidneys, a pair of ureters, a urinary bladder, and a urethra. Now the diagram that has been put up on the slide, children, is the same diagram that is of your textbook. It's a very important diagram. Often it is given for 3 marks. Question to draw and label, probably, you know, they will particularly tell you to label a few parts, or they may just ask you to label the important organs. So this diagram is of the excretory system is very important. Now from this diagram, what do we see in that diagram? We see the entire excretory system, only the excretory system. And we see, first we are going to talk about the kidneys. Now if you look over there, we see that we have a pair of kidneys, all right? And the kidneys are bean-shaped structures. Very, very clearly visible over there. They are bean-shaped structures. They are found within the abdominal cavity, a little bit to the back side, and one on either side of the backbone. That means each kidney is on either side of the backbone. Now, how are they protected? They are protected by the last few ribs of the rib cage to the back, on the back side, and also muscles of the back. Now, if you look at the kidney on the inside, we are not going to go into the details of the structure of the kidney from the inside, but we are going to understand that the kidney is made up of large number of very, very minute units, which are called as nephrons, and these nephrons are individually producing the urine, and then we in totality we say that the kidney produces urine. So here we just are going to understand that the kidney, the function of the kidney is to produce the urine. Okay, the next we are going to talk about is the ureter. Now you can see two very thin muscular tube-like structures emerging from the kidney, and these tubes, they come and they join the urinary bladder. You have a pair of kidneys, automatically we have a pair of ureters also. Okay, so each ureter is coming out or emerging from the kidney, from each kidney, and they go and join the urinary bladder. And what is the role of this ureter? The ureters help to carry the urine that is being formed in the kidney. They carry the urine from the kidney to the urinary bladder. And the urinary bladder will temporarily store this urine. So the function of the ureter is to bring urine from the kidney to the urinary bladder. And as I already told you once, a pair of kidneys, so we have a pair of ureters, one from each kidney. Let us look at the next organ, that is the urinary bladder. And this urinary bladder is a sac-like, it's like a pear-shaped sac-like structure. It is highly, highly muscular and very elastic, all right? And it temporarily stores urine. Now, why am I emphasizing on the word temporarily? Because urine is being continuously produced by the kidney, but continuously urine is not being eliminated from the body. So it is this urinary bladder which is storing the urine. How? The ureter is bringing the urine and pouring it into the urinary bladder. So the urinary bladder is storing the urine temporarily. Once the urinary bladder is full, then it sends messages to the brain, and periodically the urine is expelled from the body by a process called as micturition. Just like we studied in digestive system, the process of removing the undigested solid waste from the body is called as defecation. Like that, expulsion of this urine that has been produced from the body is called as micturition. So, the urinary bladder, that means, is a sac-like structure that is temporarily storing the urine till micturition takes place. We go to the last important organ here, and that is the urethra. Now, we see ureters are a pair, but urethra is just one. And this is a tube. Again, it is an elastic tube, long tube that arises from the urinary bladder and helps to expel the urine out of the body. And at the tip or the opening of this urethra is the presence of a sphincter muscle that is guarding it, right? So when the sphincter muscle will open, only at that time urine will be eliminated from the body. Otherwise, the sphincter muscle remains closed and urine is not allowed to pass out from the body. And also we see in the males, the urethra acts as the common route for the sperms and urine both to be eliminated from the body. Now, there is one thing over here I would like to emphasize, children. Often I have seen children get confused with ureter and urethra when they are labeling, right? Just a small tip to remember. It is not scientific, but it's just a tip to remember. Urethra, ureter. I hope you are able to hear it. Urethra ends with a thra. And urethra throws the urine out of the body. So we will remember that urethra throws urine out of the body. So you are going to remember the tube that arises from the urinary bladder is the urethra, and the other two are the ureters. With this, we have understood the structure of the excretory system in the body, and we have talked about all the important organs and the function of these organs. We proceed to the next slide, and in the next slide we are going to talk about the nephron. I've already told you that the kidney, we are not going to go into details of the structure, internal structure of the kidney, but we will definitely understand that the kidney has millions of and millions of these small units, which are each unit being called as a nephron. So that's why we say the nephrons are the structural and functional units of the kidney. Now, the diagram of the nephron in your textbook is a little complicated. So, I have put up a diagram which is a little more simple. So, you can draw whichever suits you. It's okay if you draw the diagram of the book also. But this is very simple. And so, I have put up this. If you want, you can learn this diagram also. Now, when I'm going to talk about the structure, in this module, we are only going to talk about the structure of the nephron. In the next module, we are going to study how the nephron is producing urine. So if I look at the structure of the nephron, which is the unit that is making up the kidney, we see that each nephron has two parts. One which is called as the renal corpuscle and the other which is called as the renal tubule. Now this renal corpuscle, you can see over there, is made up of the Bowman's capsule, which is just like a cup. Okay, it looks like a round cup over there. And within the Bowman's capsule is present a capillary network made up of arterioles. And so this combination of the Bowman's capsule with the capillary network called as the glomerulus is called as the renal corpuscle. And the other part is the renal tubule. Once we understood that, we are just going to see that the renal tubule is attached on one side to the Bowman's capsule and on the other side it is attached to the collecting duct. And if you look at the figure over there, you can see the collecting duct is having 1, 2, 3 attachments. So like that, they have just shown 3 attachments. What are these attachments? Everywhere, one tubule is coming and getting attached, renal tubule. So all these renal tubules, they come and get attached to the collecting duct. So the nephron is producing the urine and pouring the urine into the collecting duct. Now, once we look in overall, look at the diagram, we see that the entire nephron, okay, which is made up of the Bowman's capsule and the glomerulus and renal tubule, it is completely, you know, surrounded by a capillary network. We see that the renal artery enters the kidney, it breaks into a capillary network of arterioles that is found within the Bowman's capsule, and then the complete capillary network completely surrounds the tubule, and finally it joins and goes out of the kidney as the renal vein. And here we see that when we look at the nephron, after the Bowman's capsule, we see the first part of the renal tubule is highly convoluted or very highly folded, and it is called as the proximal convoluted tubule. Proximal meaning very close to the Bowman's capsule. Okay, that part which is highly folded and very close to the Bowman's capsule is called as the proximal convoluted tubule. After the convolution or the foldings over there, we see that it comes as the descending limb. The tubule continues as the descending limb. It takes a U-turn where we call it as a loop of Henle, and it rises as the ascending limb. And before it joins the collecting duct, we see that it again gets highly convoluted or highly folded over there, and now it is called as the distal convoluted tubule. So the distal convoluted tubule is close to the collecting duct, away from the Bowman's capsule, and the proximal convoluted tubule is very close to the Bowman's capsule. So we see the entire structure of the nephron. We have the Bowman's capsule that has the capillary network. The renal tubule starts as the very convoluted proximal convoluted tubule. It continues as descending limb, loop of Henle, ascending limb. Again, it becomes convoluted and it's there. It's called as distal convoluted tubule. And finally, it goes and joins the collecting duct. And this collecting duct is attaching all the nephrons to it, and the urine is poured into the collecting duct, and then the collecting duct will pass the urine to the urinary bladder through the ureters. So the ureters are taking the urine from the collecting duct, passing it on to the urinary bladder temporarily till it is removed from the body. And this entire nephron is completely, you know, entangled by the capillary network. So children, I will end the part of this part of the lesson over here. In module 2, we will continue to learn how the urine is formed by each nephron, and so how the kidney is producing the urine. Thank you, children. We will continue the next rest in part 2.